Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
Theodora's in.
Hiya.
And we've also got a special guest we've just met, and already there's an aura about you. And I know, because you're going to be giving a speech tomorrow at the TEDx event, which is going to be just across the water there. We're not talking Portsmouth, Southampton. We're talking the Key Arts. So literally just a little stretch of water. So forgive me. Is it Clive Losby?
Losby.
Thank you for coming in. And we've had a sort of a conversation, very brief, because we didn't want to make it look like we've rehearsed anything. And I've just seen the first line of what I read about you. Is enough inspiration for a moment. It really is. Because you want to... What's the strap line?
I want to change the world one website at a time.
What does that mean?
I got goosebumps from that.
What does that mean?
Well, you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah?
And website accessibility is my passion. Has been for a very long time. And what I need to do is raise awareness of the issue. It's hard to believe that we're in 2022... when the legislation for websites and accessibility has been around since 1999, and people look at me and go, "Website what?"
Yeah.
I actually have to add the phrase "for disabled people" on the end of website accessibility, because they don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
This is so refreshing to hear. I tell you the reason why, and it's really, really recent. You asked me how long we've been running the station here when you came in, and what we do and that sort of thing. So we build confidence communication using the main ingredients of radio. And anybody can do radio. It doesn't matter who you are and what everyday problems you may think you have, anybody can do radio. We had a young lady come in a couple of weeks ago. And I've always said to her, she reminds me of a bit like Francesca Martinez. She's wobbly on her feet. Her eyesight's not too good, and she struggles with a lot of things. But boy, has she got a personality. We sat down and we said, "What are we going to do?" And she said, "I want to do my own profile. I want to do this and I want to do that." Fine. She sat at the keyboard. Therein lies the problem. She could hardly see it. So the following week, we went out and we got one of those like bright yellow things with the big things on and so on. And I thought to myself, shouldn't they all be like that anyway? Seriously, I'm not just saying this because you're here. I've said this to a number of people in the last couple of weeks. Why do we need to make people feel bad?
You know, you'd think they'd be more accessible.
Well, I just think that that's the rule. Make them. Yeah. But then it was the issue of, right, I could see down here. Now on the screen, we struggle up there. But now we've found a way. And now she is writing and typing and doing all of those things.
Fantastic.
And you just think that's a lovely thing. And I think when people say, "What have you achieved this year?" That's the biggest achievement, because she's now happy. She can do those things. But then it just got made me think. When I read your profile, I thought to myself, wow, here's a guy that needs to be just about everywhere to get people to see what they need to do. Because there's a lot of people out there that are struggling. There's a lot of people out there that all you got to do is just make a few tweaks here and there. And you never know, those people might just be able to help you.
It's actually, a lot of it isn't that hard. It just requires people to think. And when people start thinking, they go, "Oh, right, yeah, okay, of course." The title of my talk is Blind People Do Not Use the Internet. How could they? They can't see the screen. And that was a direct quote that somebody said to me last year. And she was a lovely person, but she didn't get the idea. It just was alien to her. And that is the issue. It's not about people don't care. It's people just don't get it.
Mm.
And that's the hardest thing. So although I run a web design company and we do accessible websites, the only thing that really matters is getting the message, because I can't do everybody's website, but I can get the message out and get people thinking about it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So what would you do? Just say, for instance, people now, you've got their attention. What's the one thing that most people miss on a website?
Okay, so there's a few things. The most obvious thing and the easiest thing for people to change is the words that they use. I talk about the C word a lot, and that is click here.
Phew.
Oh, I always do that for effect. And the thing is, you'll find that over most websites. Now, if you think about it, if you're blind, you use a screen reader. And if somebody's saying, click here, you go, click where?
Right.
So if you change the words you use to follow this link, it's the same thing, but by changing the phraseology, you make somebody feel inclusive. I'll give you an example. It's the same as being in a theatre. Everyone's there sitting down. I'm standing at the front and I'll tell everyone to stand up. There's a guy at the back in a wheelchair. He can't stand up. So how's he going to feel? However, if I change the words and say, if you're able to, stand up or raise your hand, immediately, is that person going to feel more inclusive or less included?
Mm.
And that's it. It's so that the biggest thing is to get people to think about the words that they say. So instead of having click here for our newsletter, click here to subscribe, click here for a billion and one other things, change the words and make it an inclusive follow this link. Anybody can do that on any website. Very, very straightforward.
You know, it's crazy to think how much the little things can actually mean a lot.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Honestly, that is inspiration. I'm feeling some inspiration coming across. I think it's about time we had, I don't know, a good long, hard look at ourselves. I mean, I've used this term a lot recently. I think there's two kinds of people in the world, only two, those that are aware and those that are not, and that's it. There isn't any and yeah. You go down, you walk down the street. There, some people will be aware that they're too close to you. Some people will be aware that, you know, they're using bad language and abusing and all that kind of stuff. And other people won't. They'll give you the space that you need. They won't use their bad language in front of you. They're aware. And I just think that is such a simple thing.
It is. But one of the things is, we were, my partner and I were in we were teenagers, we were passengers in a very nasty car crash back in 1989. And it nearly died. She was left paralysed from the waist down, and it was just horrible. When something like that happened, I mean, we were going to get married, and we actually had to put the wedding back a year because she was in rehab. But when we got married and we discovered that lovely historic Chichester, where we lived, was suddenly lovely, inaccessible Chichester.
Right.
And this was in 1990. This is before the DDA, the Disability Discrimination Act. So there was no legislation back then to make people make their buildings accessible. Jess, being Jess, because she's quite gobby, she put together a campaign group, and she just got on it, and she was on the paper pretty much every week almost, just campaigning, because Chichester's full of these historic old buildings, banks, buildings, societies, and they're all old, and they've all got steps, and she would just campaign. What happened? The district council put in 4,000 drop curbs right across Chichester as a result of the work that she and the campaign group did. Accessible, all these inaccessible buildings suddenly discovered that they could be made accessible. But this is before there was any law. So that was what Jess did. She literally changed the face of Chichester. You wind forward 20 years to when we started the web design company, and then obviously you find accessibility is more of an issue. It's more of a thing that people are aware of. But what we discovered is that from a website point of view, it's like being back in the 1980s. So that's why we did what we did, and that's why we do what we do. Had there not been the accident, the reason I'm saying all this is that had the accident not have happened, we probably still would have ended up doing web design, but we would have been doing web design like anybody else.
Do you know, it does beg the question, things happen for a reason. You take, and I know that sounds a bit sick in a way, because you don't ever want, but then from that, you're actually making people's lives better. So you found a positive out of a negative.
The thing is, I've always believed that you can't control what happens, but you can always control how you react to it.
How do other places, you know, when you look at Chichester now and you think, oh, well, that's down to us, that is, we've changed that. But, I mean, how do other places compare?
Well, most of it, the thing is, it's most places are actually pretty good. But, I mean, you had, you know, not being political, but with the big summit, the environmental summit that happened last year, did the global, I can't remember the name of the conference, but that was the, one of the Minister for Disabled from one of the countries actually couldn't get into the building because there was no allowance made for it. Nobody had kind of thought that a minister from a government might possibly be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So it's kind of...
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is a bit embarrassing. And that was 2021. So it's...
Yeah.
We're just kind of... I don't know. The minute people get it, they get it. And the legislation has been... And it's not just legislation in the UK. In the States, they're way ahead of us. Way ahead of us in terms of accessibility. Probably because of Vietnam. A lot of people coming back, you know, having to use wheelchairs. So that's probably why they had the American... with Disabilities Act back in whenever it was in the 70s. But it's changing too slowly. And, you know, the title of the TED Talks tomorrow, the whole day is If Not Now, When?
Yeah.
And it's kind of kind of works, really, for what I'm trying to do.
So, I mean, how are we doing as an island? How long have you been here? You've arrived today?
I arrived this morning, yeah.
Come on, give us an honest appraisal. Yeah. How are we, you know, I'm sure you've been looking around and thinking, we could change that, that needs doing.
Well, the thing is, it's not about making everything accessible, as long as there's an alternative. So, for example, the Key Arts Centre, where we're doing the thing tomorrow, there's steps up there, but there's a lift as well.
Yes.
So it's not about forcing everybody to use a lift or putting in a ramp, because even just a ramp could be slippy or can have issues for some people. It's always about providing an alternative. And that's what it's about, because, obviously websites are virtual buildings, but whether it's a virtual building or a physical building, as long as there is an alternative way for somebody with a disability to be able to use it or get the information they need, that is all that matters. And it's not about trying to bash people over the head with the law or anything like that. If somebody offers an alternative way of saying, look, you know, this isn't great, but here's what we're doing as an alternative, that's all you can ever ask for. And it's all people want.
Yeah, you're going to get people on side when you do it that way. Instead of just giving them a hard time and saying, look, you need to sort this out. I mean, it's about involving people and opening their eyes, I guess. Because, let's be honest, if you're not that way inclined and you've never been that way inclined, it's very difficult for you to see it. But I imagine that most people, if you point them in the right direction, they then realise what it might be like for someone that wants to use those facilities that might struggle a little bit.
It's a difficult one. I mean, in the States, there were just over 10,000 lawsuits launched against companies over their inaccessible websites, and the year before it was about 11,000.
Just so, on the website?
Yeah, on their websites.
Wow.
How does that work? When you somebody phones up and says you got the ump because something's not right on the website?
The thing is, websites fall under the Goods and Services Act, you know, everywhere. So if you can't use a website because of your disability...
You've got me worried now. I'm going to quickly check our website.
The thing is, I think one of the most important things is to realise that we don't live in a perfect world. Whoever designed your website, that wasn't you. So it's like, if there's a problem with the website, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But you need to think about providing an alternative. So that's, you know, it's not about saying you've got to get a new website. You know, having an accessibility audit is an important thing, because what it does, it makes people know what their challenges are with the website. You know, websites cost money. They don't get done. They get done every few years. So therefore, it's not about saying you've got to be perfect. You've just got to say, well, we're aware that we're not perfect, or we're aware that there's issues. But look, if we can help you, here's our phone number. Look, I'm looking at behind you and I can see your advert. The first thing I see is your Facebook, your email address, your phone number. So, you know, if the first thing on your accessibility statement says, oh, you know, we have some issues here with the website, but if you need anything, give us a call.
Yeah.
You're straight away reaching out. And what you become is inclusive. And inclusivity and equality are just so important. It's not about saying you have to be perfect. It's about your attitude. And I don't really talk about the law, because, you know, the law is there. It's more about changing the attitude, because once you've got the attitude changed, then everything else kind of tends to fall into place after that.
It's strange. I mean, I've been in radio for years. And I used to work at a different radio station. I used to go in, take the money, go home, not really pay much attention to what was going on, selfishly. And then we started this place, and it really opened my eyes. And every day, I'm learning something. Every day is a learning day for me, and I like that. I now wish that I'd have been like that earlier in my career, because I've wasted so much time.
You know, every day's a school day.
It is. Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's what I was looking for. Every day is a school day for me. So you're going to go on, take the stage by storm tomorrow.
And I hope so.
And people, I'm sure you are.
You know, you'll be great.
And I'm sure people will, you know, have their eyes opened. And you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, it won't be a case of they've come here today, we're inspired, and then they just rest on their laurels. You want to change the world one website at a time.
I'm going to say that at the end of my talk, I give everybody one thing that they can do right away that will help me and help everybody in changing the world. So hopefully some people will catch hold of that.
He ain't going to tell us now, is he?
Oh, no. I'm saving that one.
Yeah, we have to go to the TED Talk now.
Or tune in, because it's sold out, but it's being broadcast live streamed all day tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, I'll have to check out the live stream then.
Because we're on air tomorrow. This is the thing.
What time are you on air?
We're on air between 10 and 1. When are you on?
About 3:25.
Okay, but it's a sellout. I can't get a ticket, so I can't get there.
Go to tedluckleybrook.com. Yeah. I think it's a website, because that's where the link to the live stream will be.
Or I'll just have a word with... Oh, right, okay.
So you can actually watch it.
I can watch the live stream.
Yeah, 100%.
Brilliant. Excellent. That's what I'm going to do, because I need to know. Yeah. And I hope, maybe when you're gone, we can then start banging the drum and saying, look, what have you done? I mean, it sounds like an old song. I think someone from M People did it. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Have you changed that? Have you done that thing on that website like you were told to? What do you think? We should start a campaign and see.
Just get people thinking about it. Honestly, everything else makes sense after you've done that first bit. It's just getting awareness, because everything else does change, because the information is there. It's been there for 23 years. That's how long the guidelines have been around.
Wow.
So I'm not saying anything that's new.
Do they change? They must change every now and then.
They improve.
But
the very first set of guidelines have not... Which technically fall under the law. They fall under what used to be the DDA, Disability Discrimination Act, and is now the Equality Act. So it actually does fall under it. But for some bizarre reason, it's okay that websites discriminate against disabled people. You know, you do not discriminate against somebody because of their gender or their... orientation or the race, that just would never happen. We like to believe that we're in an inclusive society. So in the same way, all we're talking about is allowing disabled people to have the same rights and access that they have under the law anyway. And if you can change the attitude, it's everything else follows. And people think it's difficult. It doesn't have to be difficult. And they just think, the first thing a business owner thinks is, well, how much is it going to cost me? Well, if you think about it, and I don't know what the figures are now, but for a long time, the spending power of disabled people was estimated on goods and services in the UK was estimated around 80 billion a year. You tell me a business owner who doesn't want a bit of that 80 billion. Yeah. Now, if they can spend money with you because they can use your website, they will. But if they can't spend money with you, they're going to spend it with your competitors. Mm-hmm. And that's why for 15 years, I spent a lot of time just talking to business owners in networking events about the bottom line. You get their attention then.
I think it's fantastic. I really do. It's kind of, I don't know, it's similar to what we want to achieve here. And
inclusivity.
We want to open the doors. And why let anything stand in the way of a dream? No matter who you are, no matter what your abilities are, I just think it's fantastic. It makes my day when people come in here. And they'll tell you that they won't be able to do anything. And then they end up doing it and doing it much better than they ever realised they could. And then they go away with a smile on their face. And they just think, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
Even if somebody was to offer you £80 billion, keep it. I'm happy with this, and I bet you are as well.
I am, because the thing is, that's why I'm doing it one website at a time, because you can't do 100 million at a time or so, a billion.
Come on, do you get in touch with them and point it out, or do you wait for them to get into contact with you?
It depends. Part of what I do is I do audits, so that's when people get me to audit their websites. And the bit that I really love about that is the live testing. Because I work with people with disabilities who there's a blind lady who used to screen reader who's doing a master's degree in marketing.
Right.
So she's one of my testers. One of my testers has following a brain injury, is not able to use one hand and limited use of the other, and it causes her great pain. So although she can see, she can't really use a keyboard or a mouse. So she uses dictation software. And another person's an engineering student, highly functioning. She has ADHD and she has contrast issues and dyspraxia. So these people, I'll do live tests with them. So I'll record it and they will say, right, go to this website. Because beforehand, I'll talk to the client, what journeys do you want us to test?
Mm.
Because the people generally want to find out. And this is the bit they really love, because it doesn't matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what guidelines people say, if you've got somebody on video and using a screen reader and you the whole thing's recorded and you actually come as close as you can get to experiencing it with them, blimey, it changes your mind. And I've done this loads of times, and each time it's like a slap in the face. Maybe it's just it's another wake-up call. Every time I do a live audit, I do it, I experience it with them. Because I don't have a disability in the sense that prevents me from using a website. I mean, the injuries from the accident left me with head injuries and other things that mean that my memory is poor. But in terms of being able to function, in terms of being able to use a website, I don't have any issues with that. But working with people and actually experiencing it. And I want to say to anybody, if you want to know what it's like, contact your local college. Speak to the... ask to get in touch with disabled students and ask them to go over your website.
Good idea.
And yeah. See them do great it and sit, do a screen share.
Yeah.
You do it over Zoom.
Great idea. It's been fantastic to talk to you. We've run out of time.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm really grateful.
No, it's a pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
It's a real pleasure to have you here, and I hope everything goes well tomorrow. I'm sure
really
it will.
Grateful. Thank you.
And what would be lovely if that message that you've got is taken on board, and lots of people on the Isle of Wight are changing their websites and changing their mindsets a little bit as well, because it just makes for a better world, doesn't it?
Well, I hope they'll tune in tomorrow. It's going to be a good day, all day.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clive.
Take care.